Hey Anthony, how you doing? Love your show. This is a cool new feature. Gotta love it. Go Bears.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That wasn't exactly the homework assignment, but I appreciate it. You know, the love always feels good. There's no doubt about that.
But don't worry, Ant. That was Neil, and he also did the homework assignment. So,
oh, okay, all right.
That was extra credit.
Neil working overtime, getting a little bit of extra credit. I can respect that. Only time I used to do extra credit back in the day was when I felt like, all right, let me go ahead and pump this grade up in this class. It's not quite going as well as I might have been hoping for. Hour number two, Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The aforementioned homework assignment that I was just chatting with Alex Coon about there is there's a new feature on the Odyssey app. You actually have now the possibility, the option, if you will, to leave a voicemail message within the app. So when you go to the Odyssey app and you go in there to 670 The Score, there's a listen live tab that's there. And right next to it, there's a microphone shaped icon. You can click on that and leave a voicemail message for us here at The Score. Leave it up to 60 seconds. That's the max, but you don't have to leave 60 seconds, as you just heard from Neil. But you want to leave a little less than that. You want to go up to that as the max. You have that option, and it's just another way for you, the listeners, to reach out and get to us, to have your voices heard by us at The Score. It's a good way to interact, and there's been a lot of you leaving voicemail messages throughout the evening in that regard. Right now, the assignment tonight is Bears specific. I'll recount that for you in a moment. As we get throughout the days to come here, there'll be the option to leave a wide variety of messages on all kinds of topics. Maybe you want to leave a voicemail message about the Chicago Bulls, since they do open up their season. Tomorrow night, the Bulls open the new season on the road against the Pelicans. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45 with tip-off at 7. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington will be on the call on The Score and the Bulls radio network. So that's a lot to look forward to in that regard, but that is not tonight's homework assignment. Tonight's homework assignment for the voicemail message within the Odyssey app is specific to the Bears self-scout. Would love to hear from you out there. What specifically do you believe the Bears should work on? Give me your thoughts on where things sit with a particular position group. Some of you out there have already been doing that. I've had a number of voicemail messages that have been getting left. One of them is from Chris in Roscoe Village.
Hey, I figured you'd be a good guy to talk to about this, but I got to be honest, I'm a little worried about our depth on the, you know, interior defensive line there. Obviously, after Dexter and Billings, there's just not a lot of depth, and I feel like if one of those goes down, we could be in a lot of trouble. So want to get your thoughts there, and maybe what's I don't know if there's trade options or anything else, but I don't feel very confident in the depth.
Oh, that's a good one, Chris. That is a really good one, because Andrew Billings has been playing the best football of his career. He was really good when the Bears signed him last year, known mainly as a run stuffer, and then, you know, he did that to a large extent last year, was a big part of why the Bears had the top rush defense in the National Football League last season. And now we've seen in year two the development of Jervon Dexter and what he's been bringing to the table. Beyond those two individuals, you know, not a lot of depth. You see in some of the passing scenarios, DeMarcus Walker has rotated inside. He's played a lot of three technique, more so on passing downs. There's even been some rundowns that I've seen DeMarcus Walker inside at three technique, and it's good to have that versatility within the defensive front. That's one of the things that's a bit surprising about the way that the Bears run D has struggled this season, because DeMarcus Walker has been, you know, a guy who's been a big physical presence as a defensive end, and he's rushed the quarterback pretty well this year. He's been a guy who's been a 6 or 7 sack guy multiple times in his career before arriving here in Chicago. He's been playing good football. When you have a presence like that as a defensive end, he's not one of these guys who's 230, 240 pounds who gets pushed around when setting the edge. Montez Sweat certainly isn't that either. But the Bears' run defense hasn't been, you know, as good, as stout as we expected it would be this year. So is it because Dexter rotates into three technique? I don't necessarily think it's that. But I think Chris from Roscoe Village, his voicemail is a worthwhile one. It's a valid concern. We'll see what ends up developing with Zach Pickens and, you know, don't know for sure when the expectation would be that he'll be able to return from injury. But in theory, because he was another high day two draft pick from last season, not only were we excited about the development that could come with Jervon Dexter Sr. this season, but Zach Pickens was another guy, especially with the way the Bears operate within this scheme, that I was thinking that this is a guy as a young interior defensive lineman who's going to have the chance to do some quality things, do some positive things for the Bears up front. He just hasn't been able to get healthy and get out there. And I would imagine that the Bears have likely been surprised by it too, because they didn't put him directly on injured reserve to start the season out. So don't have any answers specifically on that, but is it worthy of concern? I'd say yeah. As well as the D-line has played by comparison to the O-line as a group has started to figure itself out, and they do have some bodies getting healthy. So you know what? Suddenly it does feel like this is a deeper unit up front on the Bears offense, but that perception partly comes with, you know, the way that Shane Waldron is starting to call the game. And so when you call the game in a way that takes some pressure off the O-line, and conversely, you also have maybe a dip in the level of competition they faced, the O-line looks better, looks more formidable, has some more continuity to it. And that's with Nate Davis not dressing, Ryan Bates not being healthy yet, Tevin Jenkins getting banged up. But they've still figured out a way to put quality offense together, and that's plausible in the NFL. You don't need world beaters at all five spots up front when you have a cohesive offensive system and guys executing at a high level. And we're starting to see that in recent weeks from the Bears. So Alex tells me, and actually just told you too, live on the air, that we did what the voice that he played initially at a break was Neil, a voicemail message leaver.
So Neil is short and sweet. Like you said, you can leave a 10-second message, you can leave a whole minute message, but Neil does a good job here, Ant, of leaving a message that is short, sweet, but his concern is very valid.
My biggest concern is the Bears' run offense on Sunday. They need to get that going to keep Williams upright, and they'd be able to throw to all those receivers and kick their butts.
Neil wants to kick their butts. I can respect that, Neil. I like where you're coming from. Neil's setting a very aggressive tone, values the line of scrimmage, values the run game for the Bears. He wants to utilize that Bears' run game to kick the butts of the Washington Commanders. And thank you for saying butts as opposed to something else. I don't know, Alex, if you were a little bit worried as you were listening to that initially, maybe you're going to have to bleep something.
I don't know if the other word is... That's a gray area with FCC, so... But thank you, Neil. Thank you for erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, I don't know the guidelines nearly as well as you do, and I know some folks like to color outside the lines, whether on this station or just in other platforms, but thank you to both Chris and Neil for that. And from a run game perspective, you know, the point that was being made there by Neil the caller, when you have a run game that can do some of the things the Bears have now begun to do with their rush offense, then yeah, it puts you in a really strong position to be able to control the tempo of the game, to control the action of the game. And the comparison that I've made here, we'll get a chance to watch it play out live on Sunday. The comparison between the way that the Commanders have been operating on offense throughout the season, where consistently, week after week, game after game, just from a run-pass scenario, that ratio, every game, week after week, you continue to see the Commanders calling more run plays than pass plays. And yes, you know, to be fair, part of that is Jaden Daniels does take off and run on occasion. Some of that is scramble. Some of that is called QB runs. So in some ways, that can skew that run-pass balance a little bit. But their running backs have consistently been involved in the action all season. There's no reason to think that Cliff Kingsbury, even if it happens to be Marcus Mariota, who ends up starting at QB, there's no reason to think that the same trend that's been there in every other game so far this season, that won't continue for the Commanders, especially with the fact that they have seen the Bears' rush defense struggle. They've seen the Bears' run defense be porous in a way that they weren't throughout most of last year. So with that in mind, then I have every expectation that we're going to see heavy doses of the run game. Not only, you know, what Brian Robinson brings to the table as a running back, but both quarterbacks, you know, either one, because Marcus Mariota, part of the reason he won the Heisman wasn't only what he was doing as a passer at Oregon. It was a big part of what he was doing with his legs as well. You know, Jaden Daniels is essentially the, you know, the Marcus Mariota 2.0, you know, a newer version of the same guy that Mariota was at Oregon. That's what Jaden Daniels developed into by the end of his career, his last couple of seasons at LSU, after getting off to a fairly hot start in his time at Arizona State. And I've told you, I called some of those games early at Arizona State where Jaden Daniels was playing quarterback, and Herm Edwards was his head coach at the time, sitting there in production meetings with Herm Edwards and talking to him about his young QB and how impressive Jaden Daniels was at that time back then. And Herm Edwards would have to calm us down, like myself and my broadcast partner back then, Roxy Bernstein, as we're just frothing at the mouth about this freshman QB and how impressive he is as a young football player. And this teenager just out here carving up Pac-12 defenses and leading dramatic wins for the Sun Devils. And Herm Edwards, on several occasions, multiple games, would have to tell us, just calm down. He's not the savior. And you know what? I think it was suitable advice, but you get excited about a young football player who was playing as well as Jaden Daniels did early in his career, but all that potential that was there ended up, by the end of his time with Brian Kelly and LSU, being realized, being fully fleshed out to the tune of a Heisman Trophy and a number two overall draft pick. Let's work in one more voicemail from the Odyssey app before we get to a timeout, because we're just a couple of minutes away from talking to Carmen Vitale. We're going to talk about the NFC North at large with Carmen, but certainly her updated thoughts on where things sit with the Bears coming off of their bye week. But let's get one more voicemail in here from the Odyssey app. Remember, just 1 minute or less. We can see about maybe trying to squeeze a few more voicemails in before the end of the show as well. But another good voicemail that came in from Ben, who is out in Oregon. Ben had these thoughts.
One of the things I've seen really encouraging is, I know the last two teams we beat have not been elite clubs, but we beat them the way you're supposed to. It seems in the past we've beaten bad teams, but we look just about as bad as them in the process. But the last two games, we've had some dominant wins, and we were no doubt the better team. The other thing that I was happy to see was Caleb Williams last week after that really bad interception. You know, I got that bad feeling in the pit of my stomach, like a lot of Bears fans. We've all seen this this team and the wheels fall off when things start going wrong. But, you know, Caleb didn't let it rattle him. He just went right back out there and went back to work and balled out. Came away with another convincing win. Seems in the past, you know, we haven't been able to right the ship when things go wrong. But last week we did, and that was great to see, because you got to be able to do that in this league. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Ben. Ben had a bad feeling about that one. I respect that. That's where we get sometimes as sports fans, where you start to get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. You've been burned before. You've been hurt before. You're sitting there all hopeful. Things start to go well, and you're waiting for that turn. You're waiting for the third act where something goes horribly wrong. Well, for the Bears, at least in recent weeks, you haven't had that turn where things go horribly wrong. Things in recent games have gone very well. Now, to Ben the caller's point, yes, the competition level has taken a step back. Respect that, understand that, but to dominate in the way the Bears have dominated. The question I've gotten more often than not over the bye week since the last time the Bears played a game, everyone's really excited about them being 4-2, but the question has been, like, are they legit? Like, are they good? Are the Bears actually good? Like, yeah, they're good. Well, how do you know? I know because they're dominating. When you're dominating in the NFL, it's kind of like the Indiana Hoosiers. I know I got a lot of Hoosiers fans. They can hear my voice right now. Similar question about Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers, where the competition they faced hasn't been that great. Haven't played a ranked team yet. There's a lot of folks kind of wondering whether or not this is fool's gold with Indiana. Indiana is mopping the floor with people.
They're legit.
They are 7-0, and none of these games have been single digits. And they just had a Nebraska squad. Now, I know, you know, you're a Hawkeye, Alex. So I know you know what's happening with Nebraska football through and through. Nebraska's got one of the best defenses in the country, or at least they did, until they met up with Kurt Cignetti and the Indiana Hoosiers, who put 56 points on the Cornhuskers. Matt Rhule is in year two. Kurt Cignetti is in year one. It didn't matter. 7-0 Hoosiers, now in the top 15 in the country. Yes, that is a legit squad. They are dominating people. The Bears now, over the last couple of games, have been absolutely dominant. Doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl, but are they a good football team? Yes, they have shown that they're a good football team. They have to sustain that. So if in December they're not playing like a good team anymore, it doesn't mean they weren't a good team in September and early October, but that's one of the most difficult things in the National Football League, to sustain a level of excellence. Even if you reach that, that's a part of why you hear coaches talking about rat poison at the collegiate level and talk about all the cliches of taking it 1 week at a time and everything, because that laser focus that you have to continue mounting quality performance on top of quality performance, good preparation, essential preparation on top of preparation, day in and day out, week in and week out, all that ends up equating to the consistency of performance that's so hard to achieve. Not everybody gets there. That's where the Bears are hoping to go, though. But really appreciate you leaving the voicemails you've been leaving so far. We'll see about coming back around to some of those later on in the show. We'll keep the football conversation rolling here. We will get to some basketball talk later on in the show, though. You know, told you about the Bulls coming up, opening things up tomorrow night. Chuck Swirsky will be with us at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, voice of your Chicago Bulls. We'll talk to Chuck, and we'll hear from Bulls coach Billy Donovan a little bit later in the show as well, because he was on with Mully and Hall earlier today, and it was so good with Mully and Hall this morning. So I want to make sure you get a chance to hear some of that. But for now, we'll keep the football conversation rolling here about the Bears, about the NFC North, the best division in the National Football League, and keep those voicemails coming in. We'll make some time to get more of those in later on in the show. Just download the Odyssey app, and there's an icon there that says Listen Live, and then there's a tab just next to that Listen Live icon. You hit the microphone-shaped tab, and you can leave up to a 60-second voicemail there. It's another way for you to get your voice heard on the Score. For now, we'll take a timeout, come back. We will talk to Carmen Vitale, NFL reporter with Fox Sports. We'll do that next on the Score.
Chicago Bears, second and goal. DeAndre Swift doesn't get it. Instead, it's a touchdown to Keenan Allen. Two for Kermit. Two for Keenan. Four for Caleb.
There's the voice of Rich Eisen of the NFL Network. While the Bears were over in London, Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen up there slicing and dicing things over across the pond. The quality performance from the Bears, a well-earned victory. Should have felt good about themselves going into the bye, but now, this week, it is back to work. We know that work will be covered exceptionally well by a wide variety of members of the sports media. Let's go back out to the hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. CircusSportsLasVegas.com. Carmen Vitale joins us here. You can find her on the X at Carmi V. She is a host on Fox Sports, an NFL reporter covering the NFC North and the league at large. Carmen, what's happening? How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you, man?
I am spectacular. And I was just talking a few minutes ago, a few different things, you know, like from a college perspective, because I'm calling the Northwestern at Iowa game this weekend for the Big Ten Network. And then also a moment ago, I was talking about Jaden Daniels and his career in college beginning at Arizona State, calling some of his games early in his collegiate career before he transferred to LSU. So you got experience at both these institutions from a media perspective, a couple of the top media and communications departments in the country. I'll just start on putting you on the hot seat before we start talking some football here. You know, you've ascended to the top of the media landscape. What'd you get more out of, Northwestern or ASU?
Oh, don't ask me that. I got something out of each of these wonderful institutions. I was not smart enough in high school to get into Northwestern outright, so I had to go to Arizona State first. No, listen, these are two of the top journalism programs in the country. ASU, while it has its own reputation, really afforded me so many wonderful opportunities, and I actually had the opportunity to go back last weekend, Friday night win over Utah. I was in attendance for the first time in years. And it was really, really fun. Actually, the last two Arizona State games I've been to, it have been wins against ranked teams where the students have rushed the field.
Wow.
So now I guess I need to come to a Northwestern game because apparently I'm good luck for my alma maters. But they're
it
wonderful
seems that
students.
Way. It's
and I have good things to say about both.
So Matt Eberflus can now take a page out of your book. That was very well handled, you know, very politically correct in all aspects, very balanced, very fair to both institutions. That was well done on your part. They were
thank
both
you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, so each side of the aisle, they can all learn something from Carmi V. Well, let's get to the Bears chatter then. I mean, coming off the bye, I've been having folks, there's this new feature on the Odyssey app with the voicemail function, and they can kind of leave what they'd like to, you know, sort of focus on from a self-scout perspective, and that's sure. a big part of what the Bears and every team tends to do with their bye. Well, what have been your impressions of what you've heard from Flus so far about just how the Bears tried to handle the bye and how they're feeling about things through six games?
Yeah, and it's just still more about settling in. There still has only been six games into Caleb Williams' pro career in particular. What was really impressive to me was that this defense hit the ground running immediately. I mean, they won that week one game for the team almost single-handedly with some help from special teams against the Tennessee Titans. So I really appreciate that they knew exactly what they needed to do coming into the season, and you've seen Caleb Williams get better every single week. Now the competition is going to start getting tougher, but they do have a little bit of confidence built up. You've seen every offensive weapon that you wanted to see featured at some point in this season in these games, this last one in London being Keenan Allen's breakout game, to call it that. I think that just has to continue at this point, and you need to make sure that things are trending in the right direction, and they certainly have been defensively, and they certainly have been offensively. Special teams, this team, I did some grades actually for Marquee just today, me and Scott Bear on their Bears on the Marquee podcast, and we found ourselves being really, really nice and not really having a whole lot to, you know, to really nitpick at, now that the Bears are kind of, you can see the vision.
And with that in mind, the way that the division top to bottom has shaped up, a lot of the chatter about the trade deadline kind of centers around whether or not Ryan Poles will look to bolster this roster and how aggressive it would make sense for him to be. This is the best division in football, and it's by a fairly wide margin right now. Do you think it's the type of year where it would make sense for Poles and the Bears to really be aggressive in trying to acquire more talent?
I mean, I think that they're always looking to do that. I don't know that they're going to make a huge splash. I've been surprised before. I mean, this time last year, before the trade deadline, you got Montez Sweat coming over to be a Chicago Bear. I don't think a lot of people expected that.
Right.
But you do have to kind of weigh, all right, what are we willing to give up in the future? You know, what is our current plan, our team building process? Where are we at in that? And are we willing to give up some future capital in order to make that work right now, and to what end? Because to your point, this is a really tough division, and it's a really tough spot that the Bears are in right now. And I know everybody's like sitting back like, oh, you know, finally, we're on the right track. We're getting good. We have the opportunity to win some games, and the rest of the division are the best teams in football right now. They're the best teams in the conference. I mean, I think the Lions and the Vikings, you saw it on Sunday, that it was a showdown of the NFC's best. And then you've got the Packers that are right beneath them, too, to, you know, knocking off the Houston Texans. So is there enough of an urgency to make a playoff push right now and therefore acquire some high-priced talent? Or do you continue to kind of gel as a team? Do you stick to what kind of the expectations were, you know, I think for them in general, which is just steady improvement, winning record, making sure you really do have your quarterback of the future, and then next year maybe is when you get super aggressive. I don't know the answer to that, but I think that that's what Ryan Poles is weighing.
And with Sam Darnold, I'd love to focus on the Vikings for a moment here because they're coming off their very first loss of the season. They sit there at 5-1, and they were the other position that a rookie quarterback went into where essentially, you know, a lot of folks felt like, well, if it's not Chicago, that's the best landing spot for a rookie, highly drafted QB. Maybe it's Minnesota. But then J.J. McCarthy gets injured, and here's the experienced well-traveled veteran Sam Darnold, who's been doing really good things with the Vikings. Yeah. What do you think the plausibility is that this may not be the only season we see Sam Darnold in Minnesota if he keeps this up?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tough and very interesting call for the Vikings because what you were thinking that J.J. McCarthy was going to have all this time to develop, right? And now he's had to forfeit a lot of that time in favor of rehabbing instead. So he hasn't really gotten to the development as a NFL quarterback part of his training yet. And honestly, when he went down before the season started, I didn't really think that changed much for the Vikings in general, because I did think that Sam Darnold was going to have a long leash regardless. Mm. With all the talent that Minnesota had, it's not like Sam Darnold needed to go out there and be a world beater for them to stay afloat, for them to be a viable team. And especially with that defense on the other side of the ball, I mean, this was a team that was capable of winning, I said it, 8, 9, 10 games. I did not see this coming, but now you have an embarrassment of riches somehow at the quarterback position because of how good of a coach Kevin O'Connell is and how well he works with quarterbacks, that you have a decision to make as far as how long do you keep Sam around, or is this still kind of the jump-off point for a guy like Sam Darnold because you did only pay him for 1 year? Did you show the rest of the league now that Sam Darnold is a viable quarterback and now you can kind of release him into greener pastures and then go do this again with J.J. McCarthy? But is J.J. McCarthy going to be at the level you thought he was going to be now that he's had to rehab for so long versus work on his development?
Right, because to your point, he just, even in college, he's 3 years removed from high school. There's only so many pass attempts in that Michigan offense. Right. So there's a lot of kind of maturing and nurturing as a football player, as mature as he is as a young man, but his game still has some maturation that it'll have to go through. So I think your observation is certainly spot on there. And continuing the conversation with Carmen Vitale here of Fox Sports and the Marquee Sports Network. You can find her on the X at Carmi V, breaking down the Bears, the NFC North, the NFL in general. With the way that the Bears have been operating on defense, their pass rush has been better than most of us anticipated it would be coming into the season. There are some pass rushes available, some of them out of the game, some of them in the game, but displeased with their current situations. Is it worth, you know, it's one thing to beat the bushes, but is it worth the Bears trying to go out and acquire more pass rush help? Or just, you got one of the best defenses in football already, is it not really worth trying to upset the apple cart there?
Yeah, I think it depends on what the price is and what the caliber of guy you're going after. I personally don't know that it's worth going after like a Myles Garrett or a Max Crosby because, again, you're going to forfeit a lot when it comes to your team building capital and what you can do next year because you're going to have to give up futures and you're going to have to give up a lot to get guys like that. And you're right. This defense is already a top five unit. Do you need a guy like that? And are you willing to sacrifice what that means for the entire team going forward? Or do you maybe find a mid-range guy, which I think Ryan Poles is really good at identifying. I mean, it's so interesting when you talk about trade deadline stuff because you really have no idea who's actually available and who's not. And though that's something that only GMs can kind of know and poke around in the bushes about, I really wouldn't be surprised if they do add another guy just to, you know, be on the other side of Montez Sweat and fit into that rotation on that left side. But they certainly don't need it because of how complementary each level of the defense is playing right now. You look at the back end that is getting takeaways. I mean, Bears are tied for third in turnover margin. I think they're still tied for third in takeaways, period, and they've obviously now been on their bye. So your unit is performing beautifully, and that's helping out the front end. But the front end is also getting pressures, especially from that interior. I can't say enough about what guys like Javon Dexter and Andrew Billings have done. I mean, Javon Dexter and Montez Sweat had the same amount of pressures. And it's getting that push from the interior is so incredibly crucial in Matt Eberflus's defense is because he doesn't blitz a whole lot. You have to get pressure with four. And in order to do that, you've got to get those interior guys involved. And they are. So then, yeah, it becomes, all right, how much are we willing to spend on another pass rusher, on another edge guy, when this is all kind of working out? And that's, you know, I'll be very interested to see. I'm sure that Ryan Poles is still kicking the tires. We knew that they were in on the Matthew Judon trade. So they're probably still looking around for another talent. I just don't know that it's going to be the splashy caliber of Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or whoever isn't, you know, one of the star pass rushers that's not really happy with their situation.
Nate Davis is another name that folks are, you know, discussing whether or not the Bears, as opposed to acquiring additional assistance, that maybe they would be willing to unload a player who's accomplished some things in the National Football League. And I do wonder a bit, because we've seen the last couple of games, the offense has operated at a much higher level. The O-line seems to have a lot more cohesion and is functioning much better than it did early in the season. Is it the opponent? Is it the coach? Is it the fact that there's continuity and now they're just gelling as a group? I think the answer is yes. It's kind of all of the above, in my opinion. That being said, so Nate Davis hasn't been a necessary part over the last couple of weeks of this recent offensive surge the Bears have been on, but he's still a guy who has played quality football, and I'm still not necessarily sold on the idea that they're super deep on the inside. Would it be a risk for the Bears to unload Nate Davis, or do you think this kind of diminishing returns at this point, they're better off moving on?
No, I'm with you. I think it's a risk because you need depth. And you need the guy. That's why you went out and you got Ryan Bates this year. That's why you went out and got Coleman Shelton, guys that play, that both played center, you know, that could slot in there. You have the guys along the interior, the swing guards, swing tackles. You drafted Kieran. You need depth at offensive line because offensive line is just one of those positions where it's not if, it's when a guy goes down. Yeah. And Nate Davis, though he's been in and out of the lineup, he has been with this team now for a while. He understands the scheme. He knows what you're supposed to do. So he can be a guy that comes in for you in relief if one of your other guys goes down, and he has experience along the line, so along that interior, I should say. So I think you keep him around for depth. But I also think that you keep probably more offensive linemen up than I think most teams do because of that, and I'm just a huge believer in having continuity along that unit and making sure that that unit is the most solid. I think the teams that build through the trenches are the more successful ones, especially if you look around the league and the trends that are coming up where teams are running the ball a little bit more, they're trying to be a little bit more balanced on offense. That all goes through the offensive line, so you need to make sure that that unit is solid before everything else. But that's just kind of my own, if I were a GM philosophy, is to make sure that the trenches are solidified before I go out and get the finesse players. But I don't think it's worth necessarily shopping Nate Davis when he knows what you're trying to do in Chicago and it, at the very least, could be a depth piece for you.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. You know, we'll see as the competition starts to ramp back up here. We'll see if the O-line goes through some struggles. It's always comforting to have a guy who's been there and done that, even if he's someone coming off the bench for you. But we'll see how Ryan Poles ends up handling it. Carmen Vitale has been bona fide since been bona fide, repping both ASU and Northwestern at an extremely high level. As always, appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks so much, Ann. Anytime.
That is Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports, of the Marquee Sports Network, Fox Sports Radio. You can find her on the X at Carmi V. When we return, I did tell you a bit earlier that I was planning to sort of give you a glimpse into what the Bears' pass rush plan will be and why, frankly, this opponent actually suits the way the Bears prefer to get after the quarterback with the current structure of their defensive front. I'll explain why, and then in just a few short minutes, we'll transition into some Bulls conversation with the voice of your Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky. A lot more to come here. Finishing up hour number two, it's Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Good coaches are going to put their players in best positions to be successful. And you definitely see Washington do that with the skill level they have and the talent they have. You know, and even just watching that game on TV, you can see how much speed they have, you know, what they can do with the quarterback, you know, all the running backs, the receivers. So it's a good test. And they do a lot of, you know, stuff with your eyes, which you see in college and things like that. But nowadays in the NFL, a lot of offenses are doing that. They're doing a lot to mess with your eyes in terms of jet motion or pulling guys, you know, opposite directions and keeping the ball the other way and just doing things to get you off script, which is you see it more and more in today's game.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The voice of Bears linebacker TJ Edwards, and what he's describing there is how the Washington offense will test your eye discipline as a defender. Because when you're keying things as a defender, especially in the front seven, you know, everyone on defense, there's 11 bodies on defense, and as the offense breaks the huddle and takes their initial formation, part of what you're doing, once they actually line up, before they even start motioning around and everything, you have essentially your gap responsibility. The linebacker is going to go out there. He's going to call the formation strength. You know, more often than not, it's usually going to be the run strength, because that tends to be, at least from a mentality perspective, you want to have your big bodies available to where the run threat is for that opponent. So if there's an additional blocking service available where they have you outmatched, where they've got more big bodies nearer to the football, nearer to a potential point of attack, then that's usually your run strength. You know, your center, guard, tackle, if they got a tight end over there, and a tight end and a wing, that's normally where the run strength is going to present itself, especially if you got an offset back or fullback who's offset, things like that. Sometimes, depending on the down and distance situation, teams will call it to the passing strength. But the personnel who's on the field will usually honor that based off the offensive formation. Then they start to motion folks around before the football gets snapped. For T.J. Edwards, when he's talking about, he didn't use the term eye discipline, but basically it's a lot of eye candy with people moving around pre-snap, people running every which way post-snap with that Washington Commanders offense. And so what they're doing, they want you as a defender to not truly honor, to not truly attack your gap responsibility. They want you to hesitate for a moment. That potentially allows a running back, a receiver, an extremely mobile quarterback to be able to have just an extra step on you, to advance on you as the opposing defender. And then that increases their opportunity to actually gain leverage, to gain yardage, to gain an advantage on you. When you're facing a mobile quarterback, not only do you have to try and maintain the proper leverage for your gap responsibility, but then when you're trying to get into playmaker mode, when you're trying to defeat that blocker and penetrate into the backfield, then it can be that much tougher to do that in an aggressive manner, because that quarterback isn't just going to be sitting there waiting on you as this stationary target. A guy like Jayden Daniels, a guy like Marcus Mariota, either of those individuals, even Mariota, who's been in the league for a while, he can still move at a really high level. You got a quarterback who's as mobile as they are, who is in an offense that accentuates their mobility in the way that the Commander's offense does. Now that builds in hesitation for you as a defender. Now, if you have a D-line that really looks to consistently penetrate into the backfield, if you have a bunch of finesse pass rushers on the opposing side of the line of scrimmage, that has a tendency to create gaping run lanes and throwing windows for quarterbacks to climb the pocket, to step up into, to run and scramble around. The Bears don't really have a lot of finesse pass rushers. That actually is a benefit to them game plan-wise going into this thing. Montez Sweat is a power rusher who likes to condense the pocket. DeMarcus Walker on the opposing edge is a power rusher that likes to condense the pocket, using the body of that offensive tackle to condense the window, the pocket around the quarterback. Andrew Billings, he's added some more finesse to his game. He also, though, is a power rusher. You're not going to see him rushing way wide and end up way outside the offensive tackle somewhere because he's trying to get the edge of an offensive guard so quickly and getting washed away from the ball. Javon Dexter starts his rush with power and then has gotten really adept at getting rid of that blocker, using different types of pull and snatch moves to get into the backfield, but really maintaining a rush lane that's usually still very thick in the interior. Now, Daryl Taylor, he's more of a speed rush, finesse rush kind of guy who gets, of course, plenty of snaps for the Bears. But even Austin Booker, a young edge rusher for the Bears who's built with a very wiry frame, but he is actually more of a power rusher than a straight speed rusher. He doesn't usually just fly upfield into the backfield and create this big running lane rushing way behind the quarterback. He tends to start the majority of his rushes with power and then get into a finesse move off of that. But he usually condenses the pocket first. So that, to me, at least benefits the Bears in the way that they don't have to adjust their pass rush philosophy as much as some other teams would need to when they're looking and hoping to contain a mobile, an athletic QB like either guy, where the Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota will present to them once they get into game action. Something to keep in mind. You're going to see Montez Sweat bull rushing a lot because that's just who Montez Sweat is as a pass rusher. And then the finesse, the speed moves, the counter moves are really his changeup. So I do think the Bears, while it's going to be difficult to contain athletic quarterbacks just because it's difficult to contain athletic quarterbacks, but philosophically, you got a lot of power rushers up front for the Bears. So I do think that's something that at least won't take them too far afield from how they normally like to operate up front. Transition into some basketball discussion here, and we will do so with one of the best in the business, the voice of your Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, will join me next on The Score.